with them. Well, let's get right into our weekly confession here, and then we'll get into the Word. Ready? This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. Is this God speaking to you? Yes. Praise God. Well, last week, let me say this before I am convinced of something. And this goes back, Lori and I were overseeing a small group back in the 1990s. And people were bringing up prayer requests and so forth. And God was just all over me. It was like my heart was just burning, and it was just, I remember the feeling. And I am convinced that unanswered prayers, and we've all experienced unanswered prayers, haven't we? Who has not experienced an unanswered prayer? Okay, so that's all of us. We've all experienced an unanswered prayer, right? And I am convinced of this, that all unanswered, they come for several reasons. One is that we're asking God to do things that He has already done. In other words, if you pray for healing, God, please heal me. Heal this. Heal my daughter. Heal. Please heal me. God's already done that. That the source of healing was established 2,000 years ago, and it's for us to come and receive. The same way we receive salvation is the same way we receive healing from the Lord, divine healing. Now, there's nothing wrong in seeking healing from natural means or whatever, or even medicine. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to get over that. I mean, there are Christians who, I will never go to a doctor. You're nuts. Because the fact that you need a doctor or you need attention is the fact that something is wrong. They can help you to get you back in the faith lane until you can get healed. So don't throw out your prescriptions. Don't throw out your medicine or anything. But just know this, that God, it's like a power plant. We have a power plant, in fact, a supply right over there. But if we don't turn on the light switch, nothing's going to happen. We have a full supply in this building. But until we put one of those light switches on, nothing's going to happen. Well, the source of healing has already been given. God has already healed. It's us to come to Him and receive. And believe that we receive what grace has already provided. Amen? So people pray for things. They ask God to do what He's already done. They also ask Him to give them something He's already given, like healing. Do what He's already done. People pray, Father, save so-and-so. Please save so-and-so. Please save my kids. Please save my relatives. Please save. No. It's good to have that concern for them, but that's not an effective prayer. We're talking about effective prayer. The Bible talks about it. It is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails you. It's got to be effective prayer, just not any prayer. And so if you say, Father, say it. No, He's already provided salvation. And then you know what He did when He rose from the dead? He conferred all the authority of salvation to this world onto the church. And He said, you go preach the gospel to every nation, teaching them to observe everything that He has shown you. Everything that He has taught you. It's up to us to preach the gospel to them. Sometimes we use words. Sometimes it's our actions. Sometimes, but whatever we're doing, we have a ministry, and it's called the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And it is the revelation of the righteousness of God. Praise, it is so powerful, the gospel that has been given to us. And it's just amazing how the devil will convince people any other way. Oh, that would be too harsh if I just told them to get saved. implying that they're wrong or they're... No, we're not implying anything. We're informing them of what the gospel says. Jesus said, if they don't believe in me, they're condemned already. Why? Because they've not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So here we are saving them from the condemnation that's already on them. We're not insulting them by saying they need Jesus. We're helping them. So, well, that doesn't sound like love. What am I supposed to do? Love them right into hell? Without telling them the truth about salvation, about God, about what he has done for them? No. These are things that we need to understand about prayer and praying effectively. James also, in James 4, verse 3, he says, you pray amiss. You haven't received not because you pray amiss. And in that case, he's talking about people who are praying for the wrong reasons, that they can consume everything on their lust. They're not doing it to increase their fellowship and relationship with God or to glorify God. They're doing it for selfish reasons, for themselves. So they can say, I. Get I out of it. Get God in the middle of everything and you'd be happy. Last week we talked about the understanding the will of the Lord. And now there is a large portion of the church that has kind of settled in the fact that man is on the earth, God is in heaven, and it is impossible for man to know the will of God. You know how they say that, God? And they start talking Elizabethan English and stuff like that. Well, I mean, when the organ stops, you know, people do that. But here's what I'm saying. See if I can put this right. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So if they're saying that man cannot possibly know the will of God, that it is just too high and lofty above us to be able to comprehend or even discern what the will of God is, then they have to pray in doubt and unbelief, because they have to pray every prayer saying, if it be thy will. And faith begins where the will of God is known. So they're not praying in faith. What they've settled on is, well, if it happens, then I guess it was God's will. If it doesn't happen, I guess it wasn't God's will. They're playing a guessing game. They might as well go down to a casino and gamble, because that's what they've turned the church into, is a Holy Ghost casino. You know, let's flip something up, see if it happens. Let's see if we win on this one. See if this number works. See if this way. No, because they're saying that it is impossible to know the will of God. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. This is taught in churches all over. And it doesn't, and it's simply not true. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 17. It says, therefore, be not unwise, but what? But understanding what? The will of the Lord is. In other words, it's unwise, it's foolish to go through a prayer life, to go through anything a day without understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we get ourselves into so many entanglements and everything, not understanding what the will of the Lord is. God's word is his will. God's promises are his will. The benefits that are locked in, that have been vested in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, that is God's will. So, how can you say that? I didn't. He did. If he didn't give a promise to you, if he only gave a promise to a selected few, then he would be a respecter of persons. No, he locked it in there and he said, come and receive it by faith. That's what he's locking in. He's locked in with you. You need to get locked in with him. Amen? Now, don't feel bad thinking, well, you mean I prayed wrong? All my life I've prayed wrong. You know, it's like, haven't we all? This is a learning. You know what a disciple is? A learner. We are disciples of the Lord. That means we come to learn of him. He says, come unto me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and I'll give you rest. In fact, I'll take that burden from you. In fact, come to me. My burden is so light, if you hold on to me, it'll lift you right up. It's like a helium balloon. Man, it'll lift you up and out and over whatever you're going through. You come to him. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the scripture's telling us that we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. That's our responsibility, to understand his will. Because you can't pray in faith without knowing the will of God. So I'm going to move on. Here's another one. Romans 11:33. Because people say, well, what about this? His ways are past finding out. Look, both the riches and wisdom of God, how unsearchable are, how can we know the will of God? It doesn't say anything about the will of God in this verse. It does it? When God does, this word, I think unsearchable means untraceable. You can't even trace this. He is so big, so good. You cannot even trace his judgments. And his ways are past finding out. That's another finding out. That's another phrase that we need to look at too. And I don't have time to do that now. You can do that. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? By the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. Not only can you understand it, but you can prove it. You can prove it. So we need to go back to the Word, because when you begin with the Word, you begin with the very source of what it is that you're doing. And in this case, we're talking about prayer. Prayer was never a human-initiated idea. It always came from God. It was God's idea. Jesus taught about prayer. Jesus, he prayed often. He lived what he prayed. You know, somebody said, you need to practice what you preach. No, you need to preach what you practice. They got that wrong. You don't preach it and then practice. No, this is an overflow of what you're already living, what you're already doing, what you're already walking in, what you've already experienced. And then you have something, some substance inside of you that is worth something to somebody else. Because anything of me, it says the flesh profits nothing. In other words, there's no profitable thing I can profit you coming out of my flesh. If it's not coming deep-rooted in the Word of God with experiential knowledge, with experience and life that's lived through prayer, through knowing the Word and walking in the Word. You know, Rick hit on something. The discouragement that comes. I was walking Buddy one morning. This is before the election. In the coming weeks before the election. And every morning I'd just pray in the Spirit. And I'd see all these Harris Walls signs and everything. I'd go, God, deliver them from their ignorance. Get the truth to them. And I'm praying for them. And then just as clear as I ever heard the devil before, he said, what good does that do? I mean, look. And he's telling me, okay, he fills the news media with all this deception. And then he tells me, look at all the deception. And he calls it deception. He knows what it is. So, and he's, look at all the deception they're under. What good is it? You know, God will never discourage you. The two widow's mites, you may have two widow's mites worth of faith for that person. It's fine. Use it. Keep praying. Keep believing God. Keep standing in that. Haven't done all the stand, and pray all kinds of prayers. We're going to get into that too. Pray all kinds of prayers. Praise God. Supplication, the prayer of supplication. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, in fact, it names four different kinds of prayers in that one verse. 2:1 mentions four kinds, of, including prayer itself. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All forms of prayers. Just thank God. Thank God, Father, that they are delivered from themselves. You know, somebody asked Rick Renner one time, what's the biggest enemy you've ever overcome? He said, me? He said, myself. Oh, you know, it pays to be honest. But that's our biggest enemy, number one. Some is ourselves. The prayer of supplication, the prayer of intercession. Supplication, by the way, if you don't have this book, get it. It's called Praying for the Impossible, by Buddy Harrison. I read this book and it lit me up big. The prayer of supplication is a powerful prayer, but you need to know how to use it. Pray that. Maybe I'll go into it if I have time. But intercession, when you're praying for somebody else, giving of thanks, there's prayers of praise. Praise is a form of prayer. Declaration is a form of prayer. It talks about declaring, in fact, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a declaration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's a declaration. Then you ask, give us this day. You need to declare. There are prayers of declaration. 1 John goes into this too. Prayers of declaration, giving thanks to the Father, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This verse is Colossians 1, 12 and 13. These are declarations. Paul starts off in prayer and then he goes, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is declaration of prayer. Prayer is a declaration. You ever notice Elijah? It says he prayed for the rain to stop. You know how he prayed? He went into Ahab. He said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. That was his prayer. Ahab wanted his head. He thought he wanted to torture him until he'd call the rain back. You know, these people are so ignorant. But that's what we're dealing with. But look, that was me, right? That was you. Can't forget that. It's nice to look back and sometimes and just know, because that's what God delivered you from. Right. So you can have mercy on somebody else. I want to get back to this praying, if it be thy will. You know, there's only one prayer, and Jesus prayed all of these kind of prayers. There's only one prayer that Jesus prayed, if it be thy will. And that was a prayer of consecration, where you are dedicating yourself to the service or the will of God. Jesus came to the end of his human will. And he, if you analyze it, actually he was praying that God's will be done through him. He was letting go of his own will. And he was giving it to God. And at the same time, God was downloading. And from that time on, do you know how much power he was filled with? He left the garden and they went to another place in the garden. Judas led a Roman cohort. A cohort in the Roman was at least 500 men. He said, who are you guys looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And 500 men fell backwards and went to the, they just fell on their backs. They couldn't do anything. Who had power in that situation? Well, God did, because Jesus gave his will over to the Father. Do you know you can do that every morning? The same thing, and be filled with that same power? Jesus is, he's willing to share the power, but it can't be your will. You have to give that up. It's his will. Then there are prophetic prayers. You can see this in Psalms. David is going along this way and all of a sudden it turns into prophecy. And there are prophetic prayers to pray. The prayer of agreement, the prayer of faith. See, the prayer of agreement, Matthew 18, 19. Do we have that one? I don't think so. But the prayer of agreement. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that if any two of you on earth shall touch anything, shall agree on anything as touching, anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. Prayer of agreement. You sometimes need to grab a brother who can believe with you. And then that's a point of contact where the two of you are agreeing for something. On earth, you have a witness to bear witness of you, and he's a witness to bear witness of your bearing witness. You know what I mean. And so you have a prayer of, and a prayer of faith talks about in James 5:16 that the prayer of faith will save the sick. What's faith? Father, I believe that the stripes of Jesus have produced a fount of healing that is available for anybody. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. That's a prayer of faith. You don't need to add to that. Just release your faith on his ability to work through you. It's already done. Healing is already done. It's already provided. Throughout the new covenant. Did I hit that thing, if it be thy will, hard enough? Do you guys get that? It is a faith-killing end to a prayer. Unless it's a prayer where you just don't know what God's will is. And we have that in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps our weaknesses. What is that weakness? Not knowing what God's will is in a certain area, a certain place. So you pray in the Spirit and let the Spirit intercede through you in the voice of tongues, where you can, and sometimes he'll give you the interpretation. But if you're praying for somebody else, you don't need to know the interpretation. He's got it, but he can't do it without your prayer. So pray in tongues and believe God to do the utmost, more than you can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen. So we're talking about beginning with the answer here today. God tells us many things that he has done for us already in the New Testament, things that he has already given to us, formed within us, empowered us with, and authorized us to use. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So then look at verse 6. It says, to the praise of his glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, sometimes you don't feel too accepted in the beloved, do you? Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what it says. And he has already made you accepted. This ought to drive guilt and condemnation out of your life. Worry and fear and fret about others. Whatever. He has made us accepted in the beloved. You got to stand on that. And there are times you need to just know that he said that, so that you can come to him and say, Lord, you said this, that I'm accepted in you. And when you say that, it's amazing how your mind will change. All of a sudden you say, yeah, bad boy, who are you going to dump that guilt on now? Who are you going to dump that condemnation on now? That wondering. And I don't have to wonder. I got God's word. It says, I have been made accepted in the beloved. I can dance on that. I can sing on that. And, you know, he packs up and leaves. Because what are you doing? You're resisting, you're submitting to God and his word, and you're resisting the devil. You're resisting condemnation and guilt. You have been, everybody say, I have been made accepted in Christ. Amen. Verse 7. In whom we have what? We have redemption. We have been redeemed. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. God, we are God's property. And the devil has, Oral Roberts used to use so effectively, but he said, if you ever get in trouble, say, devil, I am God's property. You are a trespasser. You have no legal right to touch this body. This body belongs to God. I have been redeemed and I steward this body and I give it to the Lord. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Some people struggle with past sins. Say, well, you know, really? Yeah, really. The blood of Jesus is beyond anything you can even think of in your head. It stands there and talks to God for you all the time. We're starting with the answer. This is the way you approach the throne of God. Verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us what? the mystery of his will. Yeesh. Oh, you can't possibly know the will. Yes, you can. It's right there. He's made known to you the mystery of his will. It's no longer a mystery then, right? Okay. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you have believed, you were what? You were sealed. Vacuum packed. Hermetically sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance. If he gave you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, can you imagine what's waiting for us? The rest of that inheritance is? Come on, guys. This is shouting ground. This is shouting. Get occupied with the things that God is doing. So that when we come to him, we don't have to waste time and unbelieving prayers, faithless prayers, and just words that we don't have to bring all that to. Look, God has done so much for us. He has given so much to us. He went through it himself in order to make sure that it got delivered to you totally pure and free. He has established a fail-safe covenant. He has sealed you. You say, well, does that mean I can't lose my salvation? I don't want out, do you?
No.
Well, what if I did something? First of all, your salvation doesn't depend on what you did or didn't do. It depends on what Jesus did. Just stay there. Because you were not born into a system of rules. You were born into a family with a father. So get rid of that Pentecostal garbage. Doctrine. You know, it's like, hey, I was born into freedom. Do you ever pray, Father, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. No, he's already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly. You know what that verse, heavenly places, means? It means the spirit realm. It doesn't mean way up there. No, it's the spirit realm that's all around. He has, and those blessings are a reality in the spirit realm. They've already been given. They've already been secured in the covenant. How do we get them to manifest in the natural? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. That is the process of manifestation. That which we have heard. What comes by hearing?
Faith!
That which we have seen with our eyes. In other words, they saw him with their eyes. When we read the word of God, we are seeing what they saw with their eyes, and we are in agreement with it. And we are looking into the face of Jesus when we read the Gospels. It becomes a painting in our heart, and it becomes a portrait. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon. That means meditation. Meditation, displacing your old mindsets with his freedom mindsets, the mind of Christ, those things. And then our hands have handled. See, this is how you handle all those blessings that have been locked up for you in the spirit realm where they're safe, where you can go because you are a spirit and have a soul, and you can go and you can obtain all the blessings. Can we go back to verse 3? Please. Blessed be the God who has blessed us with all spirit in heavenly places in Christ. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
They're yours. All the blessings of God. Look through the old covenant. All those blessings of the old covenant. You are a Jew, by the way. You are Abraham's seed because Abraham's seed lives in you. There's no difference between that and the Old Testament. Is the New Testament concealed? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's all one. It's a book of covenants, and they all belong to you. They're all sealed with blood. Spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. That which we have heard, keep hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Keep hearing. Attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and medicine, health, healing, whatever, to all your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues, the wellsprings, and the forces of life. This is what we pray. We pray effectively, starting with the answer. We bring to him the answer. And let him, why does he, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. If we can go there. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I hasten my word to perform it. The modern translations give us a better picture. What he says is, I watch over my word to fulfill it or to perform it. He watches over his word. So when we come to him, when we come to the throne of, bring his word to him. If you want to spend all that time bringing your, he can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but all of that is in the emotional realm. You need to get it in the realm of faith, and his word is filled with it. And when you bring his word to him, he watches over it so that he can fulfill it. And when it comes to you, it comes to him from you, it will not return void. It will accomplish in you what he sent it to do in the first place. Amen? Thank you, Father. We'll end it here. And let me close with this. We're 5 minutes over, but I didn't start until Hebrews 12, verse 22 through 25. You have come to Mount Zion. That's Jerusalem. That is the city of the what? Living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. That speaks better things than that of Abel. We have the blood that speaks mercy, that speaks grace, that speaks ability, that speaks cleansing and washing and acceptance, not vengeance. Abel's blood spoke vengeance. This is why we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you walk into that presence of God with this, let's go back to 22, please, Stephen. You've come to, this is the city of the living God, into his courts, through his gates, the heaven, to an innumerable company of angels. They are there, to angels, the general assembly of the firstborn. The firstborn is Jesus. And his general assembly, all filed there for you, and which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of men, just men made perfect. Don't come in there loaded down. Come in with his word, because that's the answer. And when we start and begin with the answer, guess what? He is obligated to watch over his word and fulfill it. And he will. Hallelujah to Jesus. Man, that's a ticket. That's a ticket to victory. Woo, glory to God. Begin with the answer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. It will not return to you void. It'll accomplish. We can pray for the impossible and expect you, because nothing is impossible with you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you just proved it this week. Oh, hallelujah. So we're going to ride on that victory. We're going to pray. We're going to keep our solemn pledge to keep our man, anointed man. You know, Jesus had several people helping him through his ministry. In fact, I think it was Pilate's wife used to give to Jesus' ministry, and supply them with, and people were praying for him too. So not that they could pray any better than him, but hey, look, when they pray for him, it opens them up to his anointing. You can do yourself a favor. Pray for the people who are speaking into your life. And it'll pour in an anointing that you can't even imagine. Father, thank you. Lord, we acknowledge your presence here. You are truth and light and ability and pure cleansing and washing in Jesus' name.